We'll do a little bit. We'll just maybe do some Pesach ideas. I wanted to really just focus on a small piece here by the Rav and then elaborate on a little bit from the beginning of Halach Ma'anya. So there's a very classic problem with Halach Ma'anya, which is we start off Maget, we start off ostensibly the Seder, sorry, with Halach Ma'anya. What do we say in Halach Ma'anya? This is the poor man's bread. Great, great, great. That's fine. That makes a lot of sense. But then what do? We invite everybody. Kol, dichvin, yetiv, yechol. Anyone who's hungry should come. Any. Kol, ditzrich, yetiv, v'yivsach. And anyone who is hungry, who needs the carbon pesach, should come and eat the carbon pesach. And what's the problem with... What's the problem with this?
It's a little bit mixed messages.
What, namely?
Well,
we're not poor. We're inviting the poor, but yeah, let's push that farther. Right? What's odd here? Yeah, right? So this is everybody's problem with it, which is why are you doing it here? Right? You're not inviting people now. You say it in your house. Say, anyone who's hungry, come and inviting you now. And furthermore, the second part of it, namely, kol ditzrich yete v'yisach, that anyone who needs should come and have the carbon pesach, is even weirder because not allowed. Very good. But why is it not allowed? Correct, because you need to join the chabura in advance. That's how carbon pesach works. It's offered as a group. You can't just show up on Pesach night and say, do you have extra carbon Pesach? That's not how it works. You have to be part of the group to begin with. So the first question you have to ask is, why are we saying it now? And especially the aspect of it that is about the Pesach, not only does it seem out of place, but it seems to be usher. It seems to be simply usher. So that's one or one and a half questions, let's say, on starting the Seder, essentially, with these words. The Rav has a second problem with it, which is, if I had asked you, are these lines, you know, we identify it with the Seder. So the simple shot, you would think at some level, is it's part of the Seder. That's what it is. However, he notes that if you look in the Gemara and Tanit Daf Chaf Amud Bet, the Gemara there is listing different minhagim of Rav Huna, and the Gemara there lists one minhag of Rav Huna that kihari karech rifta, whenever he would break bread, have a patach livave, he would open the doors of his house. V'amar kol man ditzarech leite v'leichol. That anyone who wants to come, come and eat. So you see that not only is it weird here, but it doesn't seem to be something that is unique to the Seder. So, right, on the one hand, it's not unique to the Seder. On the other hand, it seems to be uniquely anti-Seder, right, against the Seder, because it's not actually possible. So why then would we take a line that might be just a general way that we start off meals and use it to start the Seder? And the second thing is, why would we start the Seder off with something that doesn't even seem to be true or possible at the Seder? Now, obviously, you could say, so some suggest that maybe this is, at some level, right, drawing attention to the Mikdash problem. Right, is that we can say it now precisely because we don't have a mikdash. So it's another one of these zecher mikdash things where we're invoking the lack of the mikdash. Because if it was the mikdash, we wouldn't be allowed to say that. We would have had to do this months or at least weeks or whatever in advance to make sure we have everybody. But nowadays, the very fact that we're able to say it is a form of expressing our lack. That, well, nowadays, if I want to be friendly and invite people to my Seder last minute, I can do it, but that only highlights what we no longer, that we no longer have. But the Rav, yeah, and because we don't have the Pesach, so then you can invite people whenever you want. But the Rav takes the claim, which I think is, you know, is very interesting. He develops it from a few places. I want to present this thesis, which is that it's less of an invitation, but it is, and we've seen this several times with the Rav, right? That the Rav was like, oh, you think that the bracha of Hadamah is just Hadamah? No, at the Seder, it's part of the Seder. You think Netilat Yadayim for Karpas is part of the general rule? No, it's a din in the Seder. Everything that could be. So he does the same thing here. But what does he say? He says, what is part of the way we tell Sibur Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim? And part of the way that we are nohig, the mitzvot of the Seder night, right? Those of you who went to our Ginsburg yesterday, you started the Sugya of Heseba. What is the overarching way, our overarching posture throughout Seder night? Freedom. Very good. So the Rav suggests that maybe on Seder night, Yishchiyuv Lahar Oded Atzmo Ki Ilu Hu Yadza Mi Mitzrayim Avdut Lecherut. You're chayev to. So it's well known that there's two Gersaot, whether it's chayev Adam Lir Od Ed Atzmo or the Rambam's Gersa, which is. What the Rambam's here said, not that you have to see yourself as if you went out of Egypt, but Laharot et al small kilo, you have some time. What's Laharot? Lirot and Laharot? To show. Right? Lirot is to see, and Laharot is to show. You have to show yourself, present yourself as if you went from Egypt. And what is one of the things that you can do when you're free and wealthy? That you can't do when you're a slave and you're dependent on others for your needs. Provide for others. Have guests, whether that be tzedakah or just guests. You have the resources and the ability to do that. So he says to be'eved, harei kaim olan dekol, and he says it's not just that you practically don't have it, but halachically, we hold that kol masha kana eved, kana rabo. You can't invite other people to your meal because you don't own anything. By definition, anything that a slave owns becomes his master's. So then part of showing that you're free is to invite people to join the meal. And therefore, this is the beginning of the process of Cherut, because you're showing, look, I can invite people. I have the freedom and the resources to invite people. And you notice that the Ritva says something similar, not identical. So the Ritva writes in in the back of his Perashim Sachem, he has a Perashim Haggadah. So he says, Kol Dichven. So first he says, the reason we say this, why do we say the words hungry? It's not just because poor people are hungry, but everyone should be hungry. Why should everyone be hungry? Because you're supposed to not eat too much on Erev Pesach. Shetzarach shia ra'ev Erev Pesach kedei le'achol matzah l'te'avo. Kol ditzrach yedev yedach she'im ein lo ro'y litol minat staka. So he says the first point you learn from this is that the Mishnah says at the beginning of the 10th parak that everybody needs to partake in the mitzvah of Seder night. Even Ani Shebi Yisrael, even a poor person, what does he need to do? Take tzedakah. And take tzedakah, because they should have Hilchot Pesach. Unlike, on what days did you not do this? So this is, and those of you who are in Agadata, we did this on Thursday night. On a regular Shabbat, what's the halacha? Does a poor person have to take tzedakah? No, what does he do? Rabbi Kiva says, "Asei Shabbat Chol, va'al titzarech labriot." It's better to make your Shabbat no different than a weekday, rather than to take staka. But on Seder night, it's not true. On Seder night, a poor person, if the only way that he can get arba kosod, he can fulfill the mitzvah of the night, is by taking staka. He has to. So the first thing is that by declaring that anyone who needs money should come and take, we're highlighting that those who need are obligated to take tzedakah. They're not allowed to just say, "Oh, I'll handle it. I won't eat a special meal." They're not allowed to do that. And if they're not allowed to do that, that doubles our chiyuv to do it. And we'll come back to that in a second. V'yesh od b'enyan ki anu omrim ki shayinu b'mitzrayim ayulanu lechem tzaru mayim lachatz b'midu mishkol mishura, that when we were slaves in Egypt, we had very little bread and water. Va'ata yesh lanu achol v'savoa v'hoter, we have achol v'savoa v'taver, we can eat and be satiated and have extra lechem yayin v'derech erut. So he says that it is an expression of derech erut, the fact that we're confident enough, right? So the Rav focuses more on the formal thing, which is that an eved can't own anything, and therefore the fact that I'm able to offer people things shows that I'm free. The Ritva focuses on the much more pragmatic, which is a poor person simply just doesn't have resources. Right? So that's two aspects, right? One is that an eved isn't allowed to own anything, so he doesn't have the right to share. And a poor person can't. Right, those are two aspects of it, but both of them are saying that the declaration, come and eat, the fact that we're inviting people to partake of our resources is evidence of the fact that we are A, free, and B, no longer at that level of poverty that comes with slavery. So the first possibility is that this is an expression of chirut. What? Correct. It doesn't fully work with the Pesach thing, because obviously in the original, it wouldn't work, right? You have to say that it's less an actual invitation than a symbol that I can. Exactly. The symbol that I can. So that's one possibility, is that the reason you're saying this is because it's an expression of chevrut. But if you remember, what was the first thing the Ritva said? Before the Ritva said that it's an expression of chevrut, he said it's highlighting the fact that the poor people should dafka take staka. They should accept staka. They have to because they need to have these resources on Seder night. They're not allowed to follow the normal rule of Asei Shabbat Chachol, Bal Tetzarech Labriot. If they need people and they need the extra expense of matzah and our brakosa, they have to. But what does that show? Right? What does that show? So that highlights that stuck on Seder night. So you could just say you're really, really chayav to eat matzah. And therefore, you're really, really chayav to have the abrakos. And if that's the case, then practically people need to take stuck. But what's the other way of taking it? No, what's it again? Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. Right, that it is poor man's bread. Maybe, interesting. Even though it's on the arbakosa also, which is not, right? But, so you could say it's practical, or these mitzvahs are very important. But the other is to say that no, that once you say that, that creates a special chiyuv, not midin staka, but midin matzah. Right, that Seder night, matzah, the arbakosa, built into them, the fact, right, when we say that even an Anisha B'Yisrael must have matzah, it's not just that that means practically to give more tzedakah, but that the tzedakah itself integrates into, right, so for example, Matnot Aniyim, would you call, Matanot Lev Yonim, would you call Matanot Lev Yonim a mitzvah tzedakah? I mean, it sort of is, except we don't, when we talk about the mitzvah of Yom Purim, we don't say, correct. We don't say it's a mitzvah of staka. Haraya, can you give your meiser money and use it for matanat levyonim? No, meaning it's a mitzvah which looks like staka and it is staka, but it's a mitzvah purim. There's a special mitzvah purim to give staka. It's not just you do your normal mitzvah staka on purim. It's that on purim it has a different valence, a different implication. The fact that a poor person has to take matzah has to be willing to take staka for matzah might indicate that built into the mitzvah of matzah is a special chiyuv of staka. Now, what proof might we have for that? So, do we have a special mitzvah that expresses itself in staka for matzah besides for what we just said? Yes. Right at the beginning of Hilchot Pesach, and from Tav Chof Tet, we We have a mitzvah known as Ma'ot Chitim. What's Ma'ot Chitim? Ever heard of this? Ma'ot Chitim? No? No? You've never heard this? They'll be announcing your shul either Ma'ot Chitim or Kimcha de Pischa. Right? Flour for Pesach. Or it's either money for wheat or Kimcha de Pischa is. So this is an actual halacha. Right? That the halacha is, this is, again, this is the first siman in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchot Pesach. The Rama quotes, that uminag lekunchitiv lechalkan lanian letzorach abedo. There's a minag to buy wheat and to divide it amongst the poor for Pesach. Lekol mishadar ba'ir yud bet chodesh tarach litein lezeh. So the Rama, and anyone who lives in a city for 12 months has to start paying it. Now, the Rama calls it a minag. However, as several Mefarshim, and most famously the Gra points out that it's not just a minhag. It's actually a halacha. Because the Yerushalmi, in the first parak of Bava Batra, halacha Dalid, when it's talking about the obligations that one has of tzedaka, based on how long you lived in a city, right? There are different institutional stucco that you have, right? So if you lived in a city for a month, you have to start paying into certain tax funds. And if you were there for a year, you have to pay into more of them. So the Yerushalmi and Aleph Dalin, Bava Batra says, L'chite ha-pesach ben lizavet leitein. One of the examples of the things that you're chayav for after 12 months is both to give and to take. Right, that you become a resident for the purposes of having to pay into this fund, or you have the right as a poor person to take from this fund, is money for Pesach. So the Gra assumes that this is evidence of the fact that this isn't just a minhag, that this goes back to the Gemara. There's an actual halacha of Ma'ot Chitim. And the Gra takes it even farther, not in the Bira Gra, but in the Divrei Eliyahu. He thinks there's a hint to it in the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says in Shmot Yud Gimel Pasuk Vav and Zayin, Shiv'at yamim tochal matzot v'yom v'chag la'Hashem, that for 7 days you shall eat matzah, on the seventh day will be a holiday for God. So what does Shiv'at yamim tochal mean? What does tochal mean? Eat. The next Pasuk is matzot yeyachel et shiv'at yamim da-da-da-da-da. And then what is matzah, what is yeyachel? What's the difference between tochal and yeachel? No. Shall be eaten. It's passive. It shall be eaten. So the Gra says, why? Yesh lahavin madua nechbelu azarot v'nishav ha'amayim rojon k'tiv tochal v'sheni yeachel. Yesh lomar l'urmoz bazah minag amuva bagot ramo olik nevchitim l'chalkom l'aniyim l'tzorach ha'pesach. So the yeachel is coming to tell you that mod chitim, the chiyuv to give stuck on a poor thing and buy matzah, is part of the mitzvah of matzah. It says he neighbor rishon atziva lekol echad mizrael chil and matzah pesach. The first pasuk tochal you shall eat tells you rotze lomar ata ba'atzmicha, that you eat umilvad chiyuvcha latzmicha, but in addition to your obligation to yourself muzhar ata lishtadel v'lerot. You have to ensure that matzah can be eaten by others. And if that's the case, so now the Rav builds on the Gra, but he doesn't quote that the Rava seems to get at this also, is so possibility, aspect one of why we start with halach ma'anya is because it's an act of chirut. Either because, according to the Rav, a poor person, a slave rather, isn't able to own, or according to the Ritva, practically you have nothing to share. But either way, inviting people to share is an expression of chayrut. But part two is that staka isn't just a mitzvah you happen to do Seder night, but definitional to the mitzvah of matzah is that you're obligated to make sure other people have matzah oil. That's actually part of the mitzvah. The way matanot levyonim is a unique stucca mitzvah built into Purim, ensuring that other people can eat matzah is definitional to the mitzvah of matzah itself, and therefore is something that should be talked about on Seder night. Now that only explains matzah, but it leaves a problem, namely Pesach. As you're not going to be able to fully solve the problem of Pesach if you think it's an actual invitation to eat, because you can't do it now. But the Rav sort of owns that. The Rav says, okay, fine. But what, and this is aspect three, what does the fact that the Karban Pesach can only be eaten by those who join the Chabura prove? What does that show about the nature of Seder night? So the Rav argues that it shows that it is definitionally communal. And it's not just about inviting the poor and having the ability to invite the poor, but that the fact that Karban Pesach requires a chabura makes it that the Pesach indicates that part of the very definition of Seder night is that it's communal. It's communal. And therefore he says, if that's true, so possibility one and two both focused on the invitation being to poor people. Correct. But then he says, no, once you have the Karban Pesach and you realize that the night is communal, he says, by invoking the Karban Pesach, what do we add? What element do we add? If we only said, if we only said anyone who's hungry should come and eat, then what would we think? That Seder night, the only special halacha is towards the poor. But he says, no, the Karban Pesach indicates that Seder night isn't just about the poor. That's also part of it. But it's adding an element is that it's definitionally communal. And that's even not poor people. He says, the fiza kavanada biska de chol tzarech yetev yivzach. It's not only for poor people. There's a special mitzvah to join with your neighbors, or machirim, or others, b'achilato. To the point where he notes that the Gemara on Sadi Aleph, there's a machloket in the Gemara on Sadi Aleph, whether you're even allowed to have a carbon Pesach for one person. Now, we happen to paskin that b'di avad you can, but he says, despite the fact that we paskin like the Shita, that you're allowed to do it, so you could have read that Shita in one of two ways. You could either read it as saying that there's no problem, or what? It works. And he says, which one is better lahalacha? So he says, the Rambam, if you're medayik in Perek Bet, halacha bet, of Karban Pesach, writes, umishtadlin, shlo yishchad lechatchila yochet, shnemar yasu oto. Lechatchila, you're not supposed, you're trying to have a group, because it says yasu plural oto, meaning that according to the Rambam, what's the machlok in Gemara? Not should you have a chabura or not, but is it absolutely ma'akev? But everyone agrees that the ideal way of fulfilling the Karban Pesach is with others. The only question is if, let's say, there's no others around, are you allowed to eat the Karban Pesach? And there we paskin, you're allowed to. But you're not supposed to. And therefore he says, by invoking the Pesach, we learn that inyan amirat kol tzarch v'miyuchad la'agadah, the kiyum yuchad mitzvah Karban Pesach, l'shatef acherem imo b'pischo. Uvazeh yesh levar l'sheilai revi'it b'mem nishtana. And then he adds yet another chiddush, and he says, the last question in manishtana is halayla hazeh kulanu misugin. We say that we're all reclining. So he says, what is the question? So the simple pshat is that, what are we asking about? Why are we reclining? With the emphasis on which word? reclining. But the Rav says maybe that's the wrong emphasis. And what should the emphasis be? The we, the kulanu misubin, which is, what is this obsession that we have of doing it as a group? And what's his proof? Because the Gemara in Brachot says, lo yasev b'chavura shalam aretz. You're not supposed to, remember, they always ate reclining. But the Gemara in Brachot says you're not supposed to recline as part of a group of amea aretz. What does that show? That they always did haseva, but they were very picky about who they allowed to join, which groups they joined in with, which communities they were part of. Right? The emphasis at some level, he argues, is not the misubin, but kulanu misubin, the emphasis that the very part of the night, the very right definition of the night is the communal component. So here the Rav derives three aspects from Halach Manya that makes it the proper introduction to the Seder. So again, one of them is the fact that it's a declaration of Chirut, which again, for the Rav is because a slave can't own anything. And for the Ritva is, and practically he doesn't. So the fact that we're inviting people is evidence that we're not slaves, point one. Point two is the fact that we invite the poor. So the Ritva highlights this as well, that the fact that the poor must take tzedakah, so it's based on the Gra finding a remez in the Torah itself, that matzot ye'achel, that you have to ensure that matzah can be eaten by other people, that shows that giving tzedakah isn't just a mitzvah of tzedakah, but like matanot le'avyonim, it's part of the chelek of the mitzvah itself. It's a unique local mitzvah. And therefore we declare that as well, Seder night. And then the Pesach component highlights for the Rav that it's not only about helping the poor, it's not just tzedakah, it's the notion of communal eating per se, which is central to Seder night. And therefore he says, even though there's a machloket in the Gemara, whether b'di'avad, you're allowed to have a Pesach for one person, and we pass them the shita you can, nevertheless, the Rambam says, makes it very clear that it's b'di'avad, that there's a chalos, that there's l'chatchila to have it as a group, and therefore by invoking the Pesach, we make it clear that it's not only the poor that join our suda, but it's people join us, period. That is part of the mitzvah halayla. And then the Rav Chiddush that maybe you could suggest that the emphasis in the fourth question isn't just misubin, that we recline, but kulanu misubin, the notion that it's done with everybody. And I'll just add here that Rabbi Yehuda Mirsky in the Hegyonei Halacha in his Haggadah also has a version of this, a little bit different, based as well on the Ritva. And he says like this, Shalu Rabbim, is this the right time to invite guests to the meal? When you're already sitting at home, you should have done it publicly. In shul. I don't know, in the newspaper, I don't know. So he quotes Beir Yaakov Meir Padva, I'm not sure. Shaya Avbeitin Bebrisk. So he was the Avbeitin in Brisk. She'ein amirazu mecham l'orchim b'yichud. It's not really directed at the guests. Ela kevon shebileil Pesach mitzvah laharbot v'siman echeirut. Since on Pesach night there's a mitzvah to increase the signs of freedom. Amirazu l'da'ato mini musei cheirut. So this statement is mini musei cheirut. And he notes that this is the simple pshat. V'ol derech mashakad v'aritva. And that's what we saw already, Shanu Omrim Mitzrayim Alenu Lechem Tzaru Mayim Lachatz, that we had very little food. B'midah Mishkal Mishura Ba'ata Yeshanu Lechol. V'so V'oter Lohem V'yayim V'der Chirut. V'nira Shadover Zayim Machrash Balabayit B'fnei Beito. But he just adds a little bit of an element that the proper way to do it is that the Balabayit makes a declaration to the Suda. Because what is he really saying? It's not just we all sing it. It's the person responsible, the person who is the host, makes a declaration at his table, sheyesh lo tzedadai ve'oter. V'yachol gam lachas min acherim l'sudato v'min acherim. Meaning, he just sharpens it slightly. He says, is it that we all say it, or is it that the host looks around at his seder, and he already has 20 people, and he says, oh, anyone who wants to come, come and eat. He said, that is quite the expression of wealth. That, right, it's not corona. Right? It's not corona that we had a seder, you know, you had the elderly couple who, like, all these pictures of two people, and it's the old grandmother who's used to making suda for all her grandkids, and strongly she makes 40 people, so she says, anyone who's currently come, because then you'll say, okay, I'm in a state of lack, right? Like, this year, the reason I have enough food, or I have extra food, is because I don't have all my guests here. But if you have, right, that same person gets up, and he says, I have my 40 grandkids at the Seder, right? I had to borrow 3 folding tables, and I filled my dining room and my kitchen. We're all here, and I cooked up a storm. And then you get up, and you open your door wide, and you say, if anyone else wants to come, right, that's already a statement that, mamash, I have so much food that, correct, like, I have 40, I could have another 40, right? Which, to be fair, sometimes how, like, we cook at the Seder, right? Like, we have leftovers forever, right? But the difference between, right, you could have 50 people, right? But the difference between, let's say, the way Mo rations off the food from Benny here, right? Which is, Benny said that everybody can have 2 pieces of chicken, and then we'll see if there's leftovers. Right? You can, we apportioned it out. We can't just tell people, right? You can't just go out to Emek Achula and say, anyone who wants to come, have food. We have a certain amount. But to have the entire yeshiva, and before you've given out the food, to open your door and says anyone else wants to come, is a statement of confidence in just how much extra you have. And therefore, he says, right, specifically for the host to declare to his already packed table, guys, I have enough food, who else can we invite? That is a particularly strong expression of chirut and wealth, and is therefore part of the celebration of Seder itself. Okay, so that's a little bit of thoughts just on halach manya. I'm going to share for today, and